The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
.3 This is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome along to The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show, you can do so right now by text. The text line is open, 087-69-44-500. That's 087-69-44-500. While the show is on the air, you can get in touch at any time as well on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. World Seagrass Day, 150 new solar powered compactable bins for Fingal. Grand Marshals announced for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. The best album is on the north side. Well, we knew that anyway. And art goes in house for DCU. TG Carr have a new documentary airing on March 16th, The Queen vs. Patrick O'Donnell, which reveals on screen for the first time the true story behind one of the most compelling murder plots in Irish history, and it is on the north side. The murders in broad daylight shook the monarchy to the core and were a really seismic event, similar to modern events like the assassination of JFK or the Twin Tower attacks. People knew where they were when it happened. The ringleader for the Invincibles was a fellow called James Carey, and Stephen Jones, who plays him, will be joining Ken in about 10 minutes time for a chat about that. Just after one, Sarah will be back to take a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. After that, she'll be back again for another chat. Did you know that Ireland's 2016 census figures showed that over 73,000 people in Ireland speak Irish daily? So whether your Gaeilge is Clishta or Brishta, we'll have to get Sarah to explain that later. Seachtain na Gaeilge wants you to try it out and maybe even surprise yourself along the way. The campaign is the biggest celebration of the Irish language in Erin. That's Ireland, I know that. And around the world, and a host of ambassadors are getting involved this year to inspire us all to lame shock. Jump in. I'm showing off to Sarah here now. Then it all runs up until this Thursday, when St. Patrick's Day is obviously back again, and St. Patrick will obviously be here to banish the snakes out of every town in Ireland. And to find out more about what it's all about, Sophie from the Seachtain na Gaeilge team is going to join Sarah at about 1:15. And if that isn't enough, each week too on the programme, before we finish, try and squeeze in some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. These are all taken from the activelink.ie website, where every week there are literally hundreds of opportunities.
Local stories with Ken Kilbride.
Hi, Ken.
Mahan Majin, Conas Atatu, Toma, Gail Gabrisha, August Tussa.
Sharon Eve Olan, Gansey.
That's as much as I can.
That's as much as I can remember. What is World Seagrass Day?
It seems it's a bigger thing than I thought it was. Actually, you had to go and Google all this, and it's a worldwide thing. So, to celebrate World Seagrass Day, students from Ard School Sala in Raheny joined the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Alison Gilliland, to launch a new poster on the seaweeds and seagrasses from the North Bull Island. So the Lord Mayor said the city's young people have demonstrated their desire to protect their environment and to ensure ways to mitigate climate change and to reduce environmental pollutions are safeguarded. Therefore, this educational resource that illustrates the importance of fragility of the seagrass and seaweed species that we have here in Dublin is very, very welcomed. And she says, I was particularly delighted to see the children enjoying hands-on experience in Dollymount Strand. So the poster is an educational resource which illustrates the macrophytes, which are seagrasses and seaweeds to the rest of us, that are found on the North Bull Island. The marine macrophytes are a vital part of coastal marine ecosystems, as they provide food habitats and nursery areas for a range of fish, invertebrate species, and help prevent coastal erosion, reduce environmental pollution, and provide greater carbon sequestration for potential than many rainforests. So what they're saying is seaweed's really, really important and we need to protect it. So great idea. hope it goes much, much further.
Great. Well, you can eat it, you can put it on your boil skin, it, yeah. And do everything, lots of things with it. Yeah.
Well, again, just what really triggered me on this one was people might remember the film The Field with Richard Harris, and he used to go down to the sea and bring up cartloads of seaweed and put it into the field. And, you know, my father used to make us do that when we were 12, 13. We'd go down to Dollymount, fill up bags of the stuff and bring it home in the car and dig it into the garden. So, you might say he was 50 years ahead of himself at the time.
I'd say it sounds like it, Kenny. Certainly looks like it was ahead of himself. Now, there's 150 new solar-powered compactable bins on their way to Fingal.
Technological marvels.
Marvel.
So more smart bins are to be installed around Fingal. Fingal County Council confirmed it has ordered 150 of the compactable smart bins to help keep the Fingal area clean and drive down carbon emissions. An initial order of 150 bins will be installed by the end of April, with the remaining 50 bins to be installed by the end of summer. The bins will be situated in high areas of football in very popular seaside towns and long coastal areas. And anybody who's been in Howth on a sunny afternoon will know that, you know, you need lots of bins. Area inspectors will identify locations with it where existing bins are inadequate for the amount of waste being generated, i.e. Howth on a Sunday. Now, the main feature of these bins include an internal compactor which increases the litter capacity by 6 to 8 times of a normal street bin. Internal sensors that notify council staff when the bin becomes full. A foot pedal for hand-free use. They're actually Wi-Fi enabled, so you can connect to them. Each bin is 100% solar powered and requires only 8 hours of daylight for 1 month's power requirements. So what they say, there's obvious benefits such as cleaner footpath streets, significantly reduce the number of street collections required, and help lower costs and achieve environmental benefits. Now, I've mentioned before, and I'm going to take... I have a problem with this. So, finding more efficient ways of collecting more waste is quite frankly missing the point. The idea is we need to find more efficient ways of collecting less waste. So finding some ways, you know, of making that we can have lots more waste and put it somewhere and take it away, not a great idea. You need to have less waste.
Very true. Yeah, well, you know, don't create the waste in the first place, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, to take it away.
Yeah, bring it home with you.
Yeah, that's really...
Another day that you could take that advice on board, coming up, St. Patrick's Day. And the Grand Marshals have been announced for the big parade in Dublin City.
So, the stars of the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics and the Olympics itself, and two of Ireland's most inspirational athletes have been chosen for this year's Grand Marshals for the National St. Patrick's Day Parade. So Ellen Keane and Kelly Harrington will lead out the National Parade together on the 17th of March. So they're both young, female, role models, international sports stars. Ellen is from Clontarf, Kelly is from Portland Row. They probably couldn't find anyone similar on the south side.
I'd say we're going to definitely claim that one, sure. Who would they? Sure, what would they be doing getting this outsider at all, Ken? Now, is this a statement of fact or is it just your opinion? The best album is on the North Side.
No. This was the winner of the Choice Awards for this year. So, Northside-based singer, songwriter, producer, vocalist David Balfe was announced as the winner of the RTE Choice Music Prize Award for a solo project, For Those I Love. It's been hailed by critics as a modern masterpiece. For Those I Love pays tribute to Balfe's best friend, Paul Curran, who took his life when recording was still underway. The album was named after Balfe's project. It's emotionally raw, featuring themes of grief, nostalgia, drunken teenage hijinks. There's also hope, lots of energy, and Northsiders will be familiar with many of the lyrical references and samples throughout the recording. Balfe, a diehard Shelbert fan, well, we all have our crosses to bear, received the cheque for $10,000 for the album when it was announced as the Irish Album of the Year at the awards. So, congratulations to him, and we look forward to his next release.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely can. Brilliant. Now, the next story is about DCU. Art goes in-house.
So the three new people are being offered residency. So these are Eva Mulcrone, Emily Wozak, and Susan Lean. So they're going to be offered in collaboration with the Fire Station Studios, and they're going to be based out of Drumcondra's All Hallow campus. And the appointments are part of a growing ecosystem of artist residencies across the university, developed under their Art and Culture Plan. So the artists will avail of funded spaces, among other supports, and they will engage with members of the DC community as well as they develop new work. I was particularly attracted to Emily Wozak, who is a Dublin-based visual artist and textile worker. And it says, her work is concerned with building anti-capitalist imaginaries as prefigurative resistance in the landscape of organised abandonment under radical capitalism. Normally we offer a translation for those things, but on that I have absolutely no idea.
I'll leave it with you. Yep, absolutely. Leave it with you.
I have no idea what it means.
Okay, Ken. Thanks a million for doing the stories this week. We're going to take a short break for some music, and then Ken, you're going to have an interesting chat with Stephen Johns
about
a new documentary. It's coming up on TG Cahir on March 16th, the day before St. Patrick's Day. So that's coming up in a couple of moments after this. And what else could you play on a fine summer, spring, sunshiny day?
Birds and bees and all the flowers and trees, fishes on the line, girls and guys and yellow butterflies sing hello summertime. A homemade boat and a river to float, with nothing on our mind. Summer moon above, two people in love, singing hello, summertime, summertime.
Laying back in the sun.
Yes, summertime.
Having summertime fun.
It's a time for two, just me and you, and the summertime. Swing from a limb, drop in for a swim. Hey, the water sure looks fine. Ain't nothing wrong, just floating along, singing hello, summertime. Summertime grins, lots of good friends, we're all feeling fine. Watch the sun go down, hear the summer sound, singing hello, summertime, summertime.
Laying back in the sun.
Yes, summertime.
Having summertime fun.
It's a time for two, just me and you, and the summertime. Summertime.
Laying back in the sun.
Yes, summertime.
Having summertime fun.
It's a time for two, just me and you, and the summertime.
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham. And you know it's getting sunny out and Declan starts playing Sunny Time. You're very welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you have anything you'd like to feature, you can contact us on air, text 087-69-44500. That's text 087-69-44500. Or email us anytime at all on weekinreview@near.ie. TG Cahir have a new documentary airing coming up in the week, The Queen vs. Patrick MacDonald, and it reveals the on-screen the first time the true story behind one of the most compelling murder plots in Irish history and on the North Side. And I'm delighted to say we have the ringleader of the Invincibles, James Carey, or the actor who plays him, Stephen Jones, joining us on the line now. Good afternoon, Stephen. How are you? And welcome to the programme. Stephen there?
And we should have Stephen. Stephen, can you hear us? Now,
Stephen, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hello there. You have me there, have you?
Yeah, just had a slight technical glitch there for 10 seconds, but we figured it out. Press the right buttons.
There we go. Thanks for having me on. How's things?
Good, good. Yourself. So you're basically playing James Carey, who's the ringleader of the Invincibles. So before we get to Patrick Cavendish, let's start with who are the Invincibles and what did they do on the 6th of May, 1882?
Yeah, well, the Invincibles, they were sort of this secret society. They were kind of a breakaway from the IRB, and they were led by this guy, James Carey, who was, you know, he was a guy in the Fenian movement from James's Street in Dublin, and he was sort of the leader. And, they came up with this plot, which became then the infamous Phoenix Park murders, where Thomas Henry Burke, who was the Lord Lieutenant, and Lord Frederick Cavendish, you know, newly appointed Chief Secretary to Ireland, they were both murdered on a day in May in 1882. And it led to this kind of crazy story of James Carey, who was this really hardcore Fenian. I did a little piece for the culture website and RTE about him, and they were asking what's it like to play, you know, a real life person, and he'd been described as the most militant minded Republican you could possibly meet. So the idea of him betraying his kind of comrades in the movement, you know, and giving evidence against everybody was sort of fascinating to me, you know.
Indeed, that's the bit I was sort of picking out myself, and I'd seen that same quote about him. Can we talk about why he became Queen's Evidence, or is that a spoiler alert? And you just have to tune in next Wednesday to find out.
Well, it's a bit of both, yeah. I guess it was just that what I, again, from the acting point of view, and I guess from any the human point of view, the psychological point of view, what was fascinating about that was is that, you know, it's just that individual, what every person has a breaking point. And so I think they were quite shrewd about how they went about trying to break him. I think he was convinced that other members of the Invincibles were going to crack first, and also they used, you know, his children and his wife, and then the temptation of this, what's essentially one of the first examples I think of a witness protection program, as a kind of, you know, to lure him into it, and so we went with it. So from my point of view, it was about finding what's that, you know, when do you give up your political ideals for your kind of for your family, or, you know, for your own, you know, your own survival. So that struggle, that there's really nice scenes in the docudrama, just, you know, where he's being pushed to that limit in his cell and having to make that decision.
Indeed, it must have been a very tough one. Just in terms of it's a docudrama, so I mean, it's on T.G. Catter. Is that Gael Gasparilla, someone who can't speak?
I was confused when I got the call that they were looking for me to do it, because I'm, to my shame, I'm not fluent in Irish. The usual answer, you know, couple of fuckle.
Yep.
But no. So my character, and the Invincibles, it's mostly in English. And then when we meet Patrick O'Donnell from Gwydor, his side of the story comes in, and then it's Australia, obviously subtitled. And the historians who comment on it will be, for the most part, Australia. But yeah, so it's a nice mix. You've got some historical commentary going on, but then the scenes that you see the actors, we're just playing it like a drama. And so that was one of my little fears about it. I was thinking, oh, is it kind of a recreation type thing? But I was assured it wasn't, and I had seen the same company for T.G. Catter make a brilliant documentary about the Montrassenham murders. And so it's in that style. It's really compelling, really gripping, and the drama side of things it's just done really, really well.
So it sounds a great production. I had a look at the trailer. It looks very, very good. So if someone was there looking to, you know, get more information about the events that happened there, or as you say, look at the program next Wednesday, where would they get a few more details, or when's it on? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's on Wednesday night on T.G. Catter at 9:30. It's Wednesday the 16th. I've done a little piece to introduce it on RTE's website, rte.ie/culture, and then T.G. Catter website itself has details on the trailer. And I think, as you said, the trailer is really good. It gives people a little flavour of what it is, and it's just that nice mix of, you know, it's not, even though it's very informative and it's historical, and you've got the kind of academic, you know, side of things, and they're professors and whatever historians chipping in, there's also a very kind of human drama at the centre of it. So it's a nice mix of drama and history, and I think it's a part of Irish history. I mean, I have a history degree from a past life, and I knew very little about this, and it's a really fascinating story, fascinating case, and what happens afterwards, how these two men, one from Donegal, one from Dublin, end up on a ship off the coast of South Africa.
Yep.
Is fascinating. I think people would really enjoy it.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that. I say I look forward to your portrayal of, you know, of someone that was, you know, had a really difficult decision to make and how he got there. So we look forward to seeing that next Wednesday evening.
Yeah, great stuff.
Thanks very much, Stephen. Really appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks a million, Ken, and thanks to Stephen as well. Sounds like it might be something interesting to go along or to sit down and take the time to watch it.
Well, what I say, without going through the spoil part, you know, he was described as the most militant Republic you could possibly meet, but end up going Queen's Evidence.
Right.
There was a change of heart
somewhere along the line, for sure, yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay, we're going to take a short break for another piece of music, and we'll be back after this. We'll be right back. So I have a couple of interesting stories and update for you now. 209 jobs have been created through Rethink Ireland's Social Enterprise Development Fund since 2018. It was created in partnership with Local Authorities Ireland and supported by IPB Insurance and the Department of Rural Community Development via the Dormant Accounts Fund. The figure was announced at Rethink Ireland's Social Enterprise Development Fund showcase, marking 4 years of the fund. So, since 2018, the fund has supported 112 different social enterprises through cash grants and non-financial supports. Here's the stats. 209 jobs as well have been created within the sector. Awardees have supported 512 people into employment. Awardees also delivered services to over 270,000 people right throughout the country, and awardees mobilised 16,507 volunteers. Now, at the event, the Minister of State with Responsibility for Community Development and Charities, Joe O'Brien, TD, announced a further £1.2 million investment into the fund over the next 2 years. The Social Enterprise Development Fund has been hugely successful over the past 4 years, highlighting the strength of the creativity and the can-do attitude of communities and innovators in every community in Ireland, he said. He also said a key priority of government is to grow and strengthen social enterprise, and that he was delighted to announce that £1.2 million further investment into the fund over the next 2 years. And that's in conjunction with the Department of Rural and Community Development via the Dormant Accounts Fund. That's the money you leave in the bank if you forget about it. They just use it for good causes like this. And of course, IPB Insurance are still involved, and Local Authorities Ireland as well. This new fund will focus on continued seed funding for startup social enterprises, and it will strengthen its focus on providing vital supports to early stage social enterprises with the development of a new business course and a clear pathway for social enterprises looking to build their business. Applications for the 2022 Social Enterprise Development Fund will be open. They're open now, and they will be open until March the 3rd, and can be found on Rethink Ireland's website, which is rethinkireland.ie. Now, a coalition to end direct provision in Ireland has been launched by a leading not-for-profit organisation. In fact, by a few organisations. The coalition named STAD, STAD, Standing Against Direct Provision, will work together to ensure that the government fulfils its commitment to ending direct provision by 2024 and replacing with an alternative that is fully compliant with human rights standards. Now, the eight founding members of the coalition include NASC, NASC, Amnesty International, Crosscare Refugee Project, Coulter, Doris, the Immigrant Council of Ireland, the Irish Refugee Council, and the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland, MASI. And the coalition goals are as follows. They want to ensure the government replaces direct provision with alternative systems of accommodation that are compliant with human rights standards and meet the dignity of the individual by 2024. In the interim, all emergency centres should be closed as an immediate priority. The next objective or goal they have is to reduce processing times for international protection
protection applications and appeals, which now stands at 24 months and 10 months as well. And to ensure as well, they want that HICWA, the Health Information and Quality Authority, is given the mandate for independent inspections of direct provision centres until the new permanent system comes into force. And the final objective and goal they have is to ensure that the urgent measures identified in the Catherine Day report are immediately implemented, and these include an increase in the daily expense allowance, making the right to work available after 3 months, and making a comprehensive vulnerability assessment available to everyone. Commenting on the launch of the coalition, Fionn Finn, who is the CEO of NASC, said, "It's been almost a year since the government released its white paper on direct provision, and to date, there's only been minimal progress in putting an end to the direct provision centres. And worse still," he went on to say, "no timeline has been published." And they have come together, all those organisations, and identified what needs to happen for this to be achieved, and they're now going to focus on putting all of that into action. And finally for now, the Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, Simon Harris TD, has announced Irish Research Council funding for 77 new foundations projects that will bring researchers and community organisations together to collaborate on projects that will have a tangible impact on societal issues. The 77 projects will reach communities across the country and beyond, focusing on diverse societal changes. The announcement represents a total investment of almost €990,000. 55 projects are funded by the IRC to enhance research partnerships with civic society organisations. In addition, a further 22 projects are funded by government departments and agencies addressing global development, North-South reconciliation, our shared island and police-community relations. Since 2015, over 200 community, voluntary and charity organisations have engaged across the Irish Research Council's suite of funding programmes. A total of 362 partnerships between civic society organisations and researchers have been supported, with an associated investment in excess of €9.9 million. Now, among the new research products that will be funded within civic society and within the partners is locally based, and it is Dawn Wheatley of DCU who will collaborate with the National Women's Council on a project exploring Irish female journalists' experiences with hostility and abuse via social networks. And commenting on that, the Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, Simon Harris, said, "I welcome the announcement of the 77 new Foundations Research Awards today, another record number of projects being supported by the IRC under this programme, and the 55 research partnerships with community and voluntary groups will have an invaluable impact, bringing new insights and evidence and allowing these organisations to have impact on those they are trying to reach," he went on to say. I've one final one, actually. I said that was the final one, but I can't leave this one out. You might remember the Late Late Show at Christmas and the toy show, before Christmas, really, I suppose it is, and the huge generosity of viewers to the RTE toy show appeal is now being turned into action, with groups that support children across the country being invited to apply for the $6.6 million that was raised on the evening and the few days afterwards. And the Community Foundation for Ireland, that's RTE's partner in the appeal, and they're beginning the process of turning the donations into grants to support a range of local services and support. And if you look back to last year, when was the first year they did this, in 2020, an estimated 600,000 children and their families benefited from the donations of the 1.7 million viewers of the Late Late Toy Show on the evening, and I'm sure the numbers will be the same again this year. Now, coming up after the 1 o'clock break, Sarah will be back to have a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. She's also going to have a chat with Sophie from Shockton na Gaeilge, and we'll have the jobs and volunteering opportunities as well. So all of that to come here on The Week in Review.
90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.
Join Joe Keegan for the Groovalicious Radio Show every second Saturday from 6:30 p.m. bringing you all things soulful, soul classics, funk, disco and soulful house, every second Saturday from 6:30 p.m. here on Near FM.
Horselips to hair squid, rock to rap, punk to pop, and all genres in between. Join me, Michael Sullivan, every Saturday night between 8:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. for Irish to the Core. I'll be playing the best in Irish contemporary music from the past to the present. So don't forget, every Saturday night between 8:30 p.m. and 10 p.m, Irish to the Core on Near 90.3 FM.
Racism is wrong and unjust.
We stand for an Ireland where we all take part in the fight for equality and equal rights
in housing, jobs, welfare,
justice,
law,
health
and education.
Let's treat each other with love, respect and dignity regardless of our nationality and ethnicity.
We stand for equality for all, one human race,
one world,
one love.
INAR, the Irish Network Against Racism, encourages you to report all racist incidents to ireport.ie, the online racist incident reporting system.
Near FM, supporting equality.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on the air. You can get in touch at any time as well on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review.
Local events with Sarah Birmingham.
Hiya, Sarah.
Hi, Declan. Good to be back. Love the summertime tunes earlier, so hopefully now that's gonna hold and forecast good things ahead.
Yeah, we won't mind about any weather warnings that might be coming our way from Met Air. The sun is always shining on the north side of Dublin here.
That's the way to look at it. With the sunny southeast, and it gives you the rays all the whole way up the east coast.
All the way up the east coast, absolutely.
Keep positive, yeah.
Now, hopefully, it'll be nice and fine and sunny for the 17th with the St Patrick's Day festival in full swing.
It is back indeed, and I know I was part of a group up there, you know, when we were busy kind of preparing for the St. Patrick's Day Parade 2 years ago, and then it was all brought to a shuddering halt, really, I suppose. But I think there'll be loads of people delighted to see you back in full. So this coming Thursday is, of course, Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day, and the Dublin St. Patrick's Festival, of course, will host the spectacular National St. Patrick's Day Parade back on the streets of the capital on Thursday for what they're calling one of the biggest and the most ambitious parades they've ever produced in terms of scale, creativity and participants. And I suppose they've had 2 years kind of keeping it on the boil, so it'll be really exciting to see what they come up with. And there's a full packed and varied programme of other exciting cultural events happening all across the weekend as well then. So in case that wasn't enough, they have artists the likes of Le Boom, Damien Dempsey, Lyra, Dublin Comedy Improv, which I think would be a great one, and lots more on hand there to entertain as well. They also have the Festival Quarter at the National Museum of Ireland, Collins Barracks. That's going to host the Irish Food and Craft Village and showcase some of Ireland's incredible produce, arts and crafts, and give everyone a space to come back together again. There's also going to be a wellness event called Breathe. There's going to be City Fun Fairs at the Custom House Quay. They're going to have a virtual St. Patrick's TV station online at stpatricksfestivals.ie, and lots more too. And across the north side and right across the country too, I've no doubt that there'll be performers and football teams and floats and marching bands and everything like that, polishing off their instruments, getting their boots ready, and getting ready to go on Thursday. So loads happening there. To check out the details of the festival, the main national festival in Dublin, just go to stpatricksfestivals.ie.
And of course, lots of parades happening locally as well around the country, and indeed on particularly out in Fingal, in places like Lusk and Rush and Balbriggan and all of those areas. They all have their own parades as well, and all the details will be on the local authorities' websites as well, but around the country as well. Now, two kind of phrases you don't often hear in the one sentence would be the National Concert Hall and John Lennon.
Yeah, no, that's true to say for sure. And this weekend is changing all of that. the National Concert Hall is celebrating the works of John Lennon, of course, one-time Beatle and really all-time musical legend. You can't name a Hall of Fame kind of without going too far away from John Lennon. He was a singer, songwriter, a poet, a peace campaigner, a creative genius and a singer too, of course, and made a mark on the world in lots of different ways in terms of his music and lots more that he did as well. And I think the message of Imagine, I'm sure, holds very strongly at the moment as well, as much as it ever has before. So tonight and tomorrow night, the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, under the baton of conductor Gavin Murphy, are going to pay tribute to John Lennon in a moving performance there. Andrea Corr, Gerry Fish, Moncrief and Fionn O'Rourke are just some of the special guests who will be joining to pay their own homage to the star.
Brilliant. Yeah. And
the performance...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Sarah. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's all going to kick off at 7:30, and so tonight and tomorrow night. The tickets there are priced between €25 and €45, and you can get yours by going online to the What's On tab at nch.ie.
And we have a little piece of audio that we're going to play for you to give you a little flavour of what you can expect.
Brilliant.
That's an example of what's coming. I think it'll be a fantastic night, Sarah, won't it?
There's a big sound there, isn't there?
Yeah.
You bring together the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, a songwriter and a musical genius like John Lennon's works, and I think there's going to be a little bit of magic created there tonight and tomorrow night, so definitely worth checking out.
Absolutely. Now, if you're looking for something else to do on St. Patrick's Day rather than watch the parade, there's a little bit of walking you could do yourself.
Yeah, well, there'd have to be, really, wouldn't there? Because I think walking was such an integral part of maybe what we were all doing over the last two St. Patrick's Days when it wasn't possible to parade altogether. People, of course, were getting their exercise, walking and stepping out across Dublin, across the country. And an alternative event taking place this coming Thursday, of course, St. Patrick's Day, is going to celebrate all that and is going to see people walking 26 kilometres between Howth Harbour and Dunleary Harbour and back again, possibly, in support of AWARE. The walk sets off at 10:30. It's suitable for most fitness levels, they say, and you can choose which harbour you'd like to start at and finish at and take in scenic Dublin Bay along your route. You might like to stop off at the Bay Gathering. That's going to be hosted at Dublin Port Company's Public Plaza, and they're going to have some refreshments there and a bit of fun too, I'm sure. And it's all going towards helping to support AWARE's vital services, which support people impacted by depression and bipolar disorder. Those who take part will receive a t-shirt at the check-in as well as a badge at the finishing line to say that you did it. And I think if you've walked the 26 kilometres, you'll have well earned your badge, and give you a little bit of bragging rights afterwards when you hopefully get to relax maybe and enjoy some of the social aspect of St. Patrick's Day after that. But lots of fun to be had there, and you can join in the community taking part in the walk on the day by going along to aware.ie/harbour2harbour, that's the number 2 there, harbour to harbour, and share your photos then on social media using the hashtag #WeAreAware.
I'm tired even thinking about it.
It's 26 kilometres,
half marathon basically.
Quite a bit,
near
yeah.
enough, yeah. Now, I'd never heard of the Glass Mask Theatre. It's even hard to say. Where is it?
It is a little bit hard to say, isn't it? The Glass Mask Theatre. get the H's in there as well. And yeah, it's at the Bestseller Cafe on Dawson Street. It was conceived by Rex Ryan and Miguel Ryan, and Rex Ryan is of course the son of the late great broadcaster Jerry Ryan. And Rex travelled through Eastern Europe on something of a theatre pilgrimage back in 2018 and brought lots of inspiration and ideas back with him to Dublin, and really kind of was inspired to create a theatre and a space where they could support new writing in Ireland and stage new premieres and some of his own too, I'm sure, because I know he's making waves in that area, absolutely. And you know, the theatre there at the Bestseller Cafe, it's primed to offer you know, food and drinks and really kind of an intimate theatrical experience. So I can't say I've been to it yet, but they have a very intriguing and very slick looking website, and they speak about how they're playing host to a theatrical adventure over the next little while by award winning playwright Neil Flynn, which spans 170 years of human communication. It's called Talk to Me. It features a famous gallery of characters and it dramatises the desire to connect. It's fueled by the story of a newspaper merchant from New York who, to achieve his dream of connecting the new world and the old, must do the impossible and conquer the Atlantic Ocean. The work has been staged at the theatre there on Dawson Street, and you can check it out there every evening until next Saturday, the 19th of March. Tickets are priced at €18. And if you're curious, like I am, about the theatre and want to find out more maybe about that work or about other works that they're going to be hosting soon as well, you can check out all the details at glassmasktheatre.com.
Must have a look at that and see what it looks like. Yeah. Now, we've just time to squeeze in a little reminder to remember and reflect on our new bank holiday, because we've two bank holidays coming up this week.
We do indeed, yeah. Well worth mentioning. I mean, it's kind of been a wild time really, because the last 2 years, and you know, we're still probably in unprecedented times when we look at the news and the events unfolding around the world at the moment. But I suppose the inspiration really behind the bank holiday happening this coming Friday, it's the 18th of March, was to remember all of those who've passed away over the last 2 years, particularly throughout that pandemic period, and then to recognise and celebrate and kind of acknowledge the efforts of frontline workers and of communities across the country, and so many here that we spoke about and spoke to as well on the North Side, who really pulled together and make great things happen despite the odds over the last 2 years, and to acknowledge all of that and to just take a bit of time to kind of remember and reflect. Fingal County Council are going to host a fireworks display on Friday evening, which can be viewed from the Coast Road in Malahide. There's parking available for free, they say, at Malahide Castle, and everyone is invited to join in a moment of reflection at 8 o'clock, and to bring a torch along to shine their light in remembrance. And details of that, details of all the Fingal County Council St. Patrick's Day events and lots more too, are all online at fingal.ie/events.
Thanks a million, Sarah, for looking at all the events happening this week. And you're going to stay with us because you're going to talk to Sophie from Seachtain na Gaeilge after this next short piece of music. We'll chat to you then again.
Anuwa.
Yeah. Anuwa ar fad, even.
I'll have to brush up my Irish name.
Day, I knew you were my pet. I won't tell you how much I love you. Come with me, my love, to see the sea of love. Just how
90.3 Near FM. You're very welcome back to the Week Interview with me, Sarah Birmingham, Declan Ralph and Ken Kilbride. Well, did you know that Ireland's 2016 census figures showed that over 73,000 people in Ireland speak Irish every day? Whether you're Irish is Cliste or Brista, as they say, Shops in the Gaeilge wants you to try it out and maybe even surprise yourself a little bit along the way. The campaign is the biggest celebration of the Irish language in Erin and around the world, and a host of ambassadors are getting involved this year to inspire us all to lame stock and win tree loss. It all runs up to this Thursday when St. Patrick's will be back and forth, and to find out more about what Shocks in the Gaeilge is all about, I am delighted to be joined on the line now by Sophie from the Shocks in the Gaeilge team. Thank you so much, Gramila Mahagut, for chatting with us today, Sophie. And what does Shocks in the Gaeilge in 2022 look like?
Well, it is jam-packed. So this year we're celebrating our 120th year of the festival. Fantastic. So we have hundreds of events up and down the country and as well Harlaer, so abroad. And we're gearing into the last week of the festival, but we still have lots of events right up until the end of the festival on St. Patrick's Day.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I mean, how are we doing kind of as a country, I suppose, you know, when you think about Irish and people have different perceptions of what they might have learned in school, or but, you know, what kind of is their usage like, or what's their kind of approach to it like, do you think, at the moment?
I think especially with the rise of Gaelscoileanna now, that it's kind of just normalised the language. And
yeah,
this festival, Seachtain na Gaeilge, is great because it's for everyone. You know, it's for people, you know, that just want that cúpla focal, that haven't spoken Irish before, even learners of the language, brand new, people from different countries. Then there's people like myself that will be fluent in Irish, and there's events for us that we can attend as well. And most of the events are run by, I would say, community groups or members of the public. And there's hundreds of organisers. So that just goes to show, you know, the demand, and especially in different communities up and down the country.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it looks so vibrant and really kind of modernised, and, you know, might kind of change some of those perceptions possibly around Irish as well. But can I ask you, kind of, what kind of events then has the festival been hosting around Dublin, or what's coming up over the next couple of days?
Yeah, so what's still left to come, it's not just, you know, there is the Kirk Cora, so sitting around and having a conversation, but it's to completely modernise. So all the events, you can do yoga, Gaeilge, Pilates. I know Pilates happened on Tuesday in number 6 Harcourt Street, Chase Rod Archer in Dublin at about 7 o'clock, Pilates off Gaeilge. Then there's events happening with St. Patrick's Festival, so in Collins Barracks on St. Patrick's Day. So there's going to be live music, there's going to be comedy off Gaeilge. Tonight, actually, in Dublin, in Club Conor na Gaeilge, there's a comedy set called Gael Gory tonight. So it's all the events, anything you can imagine, but just three van na Gaeilge.
I think that's something well worth highlighting as well, that there's a great kind of whole social world that can go along with speaking Irish as well, the likes of Conor na Gaeilge, and there's lots of kind of sports groups and stuff around Dublin now who are really using the Irish on a daily basis like that.
Yeah, so there's a club out in Lucan called Nigueloga, so it's a really up and coming club, and they have, you know, junior teams right up to senior teams, and they've got women's teams and men's teams and children's, and it's lovely. It's more than a club really, because it's such a community, because they host other events as well. Like, I know on the weekends, like, they have you know, family walks they can do Oscuelga. You can also learn Irish language, like attend Irish language classes. So it's more than just the sport. So there's people that are interested in the sport itself and wanted to try something new, or there's people that are just interested in language and said, oh, I'll give, you know, Amaniuk the go. So it's great.
That's it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I mean, for people who maybe haven't, you know, come through the Irish school system or haven't spoken Irish any time before, you know, what's the best way, kind of, maybe for people to start? Where's the best place to start?
I suppose, well, things on TV. There's a great app. I know everyone's mad at Wordle. There's an Irish language version, Fuckluck, now. Duolingo is one of the, in Irish, is one of the top 10 languages being learned in Duolingo currently worldwide. There's loads of things. There's loads of, like, that Kirkacora. We have on our website, peg.ie. They have all the information about all events or local groups. You can type in, you know, whatever county you're in, so it would say Dublin, and it tells you of all the Irish language events and the levels. So it could be just learning or, again, fluent.
Yeah, it really spans such a whole range like that. And for you, as a fluent Irish speaker, can you tell us what's your favourite word in Irish?
Putting me on the spot here, Sarah. I have two. One is smuggler roan, so it's a jellyfish.
Love it.
And it comes from roan is a seal, and smugga or smuggler is snot. So jellyfish literally means snot of the seal. Or another one, the word for ladybird is Boeing Day, which means little cow god, because they were seen on cows.
That's, yeah, I think that's something that we see a lot in place names, isn't it? The Loganamnica around Ireland too, that, you know, a lot of the place names are more interesting even to see in Irish, or, you know, they make more sense.
Yeah,
like that.
Definitely.
They came from Irish, you know. There's a lot of the stories behind some of our place names, I think, that began like that. And in terms then of kind of people, if they're interested in trying to kind of, I suppose, start speaking more Irish, or, you know, maybe to kind of encourage their kids to do that as well, you know, what kind of places would you be kind of advising them towards then to, like, learn more? And
So we have more information on our website, so www.snog.ie, or where the events are on www.peg.ie.
Brilliant. There's the two places to go. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether this is kind of putting you on the spot again as well, but is there a vision in, like, Sacht na Gaeilge of where you'd love Ireland to be at in terms of speaking Irish, or is it just like, get started, like, you know, anything is good, like, just get started with it?
Really, we're just trying to encourage people to use the Irish that they have, you know, whether that be a little bit or more, and just to spark an interest. Like, I was at an event last night in Galway, and it was a drive-in drama, so it was happening live in front of you. But there was a screen, and there were subtitles for people that didn't have, and you could tune into the right frequency, and, you know, the sound would be coming out through your radio in the car. And it was just, well, it was run by Phoebe Nadrava Company in Galway, but it was just excellent. And they're going on tour as well, so they'll be in Cavan and other places. So the events are really different, really imaginative. Over the last 2 years, we kind of had to change the festival with COVID, so we kind of had hybrid events and things online. So it's just great.
And you're back in full flight this year, I suppose. There's no stopping you between all those new kind of online and virtual events and in-person events too. There's lots there. I think the way you say, you know, to surprise yourself, I think there's loads there that might kind of make people, like, take a second look at ours and start using it all over again. So thanks so much for giving us a little bit of a run-through of what Sacht na Gaeilge is up to at the moment, and very best of luck for the next few days to come, and Gramila Magus for
Gramila Magus, Sarah.
Thanks so much, Sophie.
Gramila Gatslan.
Excellent.
Now, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website. There's literally hundreds of opportunities there every week. This week, there's 36 requests for volunteers and 357 job offers, believe it or not. Now, the volunteering opportunity this week that I want to highlight is with ARC Cancer Support Services. They are seeking volunteer qualified counsellors and psychotherapists to help them to further expand their essential counselling services, both for individuals and couples. CPD and supervision will be provided, and the closing date is the 31st of March. And if you want more details on that, it's all at arccancersupport.ie. Now, moving on to the job opportunity, the Board of Mental Health Reform are seeking a passionate, focused and experienced leader to cover maternity leave for the role of Chief Executive Officer. It's a unique opportunity, they say, to join the mental health reform team at a period when mental health is in the public spotlight and a prominent element in current national policy discourse. Mental Health Reform is Ireland's leading national coalition on mental health, and their vision is of an Ireland where everyone can access the support they need in their community to achieve their best possible mental health. It's a 9-month position. Flexibility is required regarding hours, as some weekend and evening work will be necessary for board meetings and other engagements. Travel and out-of-office work will also be a feature of the role, and there possibly will be some working from home as well. Now, if you're interested in that, you need to send your CV, email it and the cover letter to info@mentalhealthreform.ie. If you need any more information before you do that, you can get in touch with fcoyle@mentalhealthreform.ie. And you need to do all of that and get your submission in, your application in, by Sunday the 13th of March. Well, believe it or not, that's it for another week of The Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter, @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, #WeekinReview. So from Sarah, from Ken and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week, 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.